Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
As you take your seats, go to your Bible, if you will, once again, and man, you're going to become familiar with Hebrews. It ought to just, by the time you're into this for a while, maybe a year or two, because we're in no hurry. We know when something's good, we have a whole fast food society that wants it immediately. This is gourmet food, and you want to eat it slowly and take your time, digest it properly, and is it good? Today, I'm going to give you the title just so it'll help you to concentrate a little bit more and understand where we're going. If you'd like to make notes of this message, is Jesus the heir of all things? I want to read to you out of the first three verses. Again, I want to encourage you, those of you that just walked in, about 100 of you just walked in, I just want you to know this is a message you're going to have to concentrate on. Don't let your minds wander. Let's get into the Word of the Lord, and I'll explain all of this in a moment about the title. It doesn't mean very much to you right now. All you're looking at is that title thinking, well, I understand a little bit about that, but you don't understand the depth of it and what it means. And may I say this to you? What role you play? Could you possibly have a role to play? Could there possibly be a position that God has for you? Could be there a purpose that you're on this planet? Is there a reason why you're who you are and where you're at and the way you look and what you do? A lot of people say to themselves, I think of myself as a failure. I'm a big loser. A lot of people that are Christians say, I just want to give up on life and I want to just quit. I don't have an education. Nobody thinks I'm special. I've done no accomplishments whatsoever. I'm just nothing. I'm a nobody. Nobody cares whether I'm here. Nobody cares what I do. I don't really accomplish anything. I don't fit into the social scene. I don't fit into the economic scene. I don't fit into the political or spiritual scene. I just kind of do nothing. And I feel like the end of my life, I'm going to accomplish nothing. And I will have missed out on something that I don't even know what it is that I missed out on in life. Most people that call themselves Christians deep down inside feel that about themselves. How sad it is, because they don't know what you're going to learn today. That there is a purpose. Why Jesus got you saved and left you on this planet. There is a reason, there is a destiny that God has for people who call themselves and that are born of the Spirit of God. There is a reason and a destiny and a purpose of your existence. And if you don't know what it is, what you'll do is you'll look at your system and look at your life and look at the ways that you are in right now and say, that's all there is. There must not be very much. And you're frustrated about yourself. You just get by in life when there's so much more. I'm going to read these three verses to you. And as I do, I want you to follow me. And I want you to hear the words, because they're just so powerful. Like I said, there's so much being talked about here, not only about Jesus, of course, which is obvious, but about you. Verse number one, God, who in various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, verse number two, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Now, I want you, if you have a Bible, and you should, circle the words heir of all, number four, things. That is one of the most amazing statements the Bible will ever make to us personally. And yet, we look at it, we read it, some of us think, well, an heir is someone, you know, who's going to get something when something in time stops for someone else. Someone's going to get an inheritance. I guess Jesus is going to inherit all kinds of things. And what in the world possible role could I play in that? Now look at this. Keep on reading. It says, through whom he is, speaking of Jesus, made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. These verses are like bizarre. For most people that call themselves Christians, you'll read that, blow through it, and never understand the depth of what's being said. And I've got today four words that we need to concentrate on and understand for your own destiny and your own purpose of why you are on this planet. Heir, verse 2, of all things. Yes, it's true. He's going to inherit all things. Everything that is when out there, when time rolls up, when the last breath is said, when time is over and this world is finished. The Bible says he will be the one who is the inheritor of what things? The problem in understanding that is the word all things. All things here does not refer to the all things that you and I are thinking about. God is not going to inherit bad things. Things that are contrary to his ways. Things that were done without him. They're all going to burn. The Bible says the world's going to burn. We can talk about global warming all we want, but God's been talking about it for years. It's not something new. And Jesus, when all of time wraps up, here we find Jesus. He is going to inherit all things, but not the bad things, not the crummy, rotten things, not the things that are of not of God, but only those that are going to be in eternity. The things that are going to endure and be everlasting. And the only thing that endures and is everlasting is godly things. And God is going to wrap it all up, put it all together, and at the end, all of it will be in Christ Jesus and presented back to the Father. An inheritance of godly things that are produced by you and I. Not evil things. Evil is anything contrary to the ways of God. Hear what I'm going to say to you. Let's define the word evil just for a moment once again. The word evil means anything contrary to the word of God. Doesn't mean anything contrary to society, because there's a lot of things that we call good, quite frankly, that are contrary to the word of God, and they're not good, therefore they're evil, but our society or social system, economic structure or political systems tell us that it's good and it's not good because it doesn't flow with what God's word says. Therefore, it's called evil, and he's not inheriting any of that. Garbage in my life that I produce, he's not inheriting that. The all things that he's talking about is that which passes time and exists and endures and is eternal. Wow. I mean, what a powerful statement. Well, you might ask, what role do you play in that? We can probably all say, oh, Jesus is worthy. He's going to inherit all things and leave it at that. But what if there is a role you play? What if there is something that you've been left here to do? What if there's a purpose, a destiny, a reason why you're on the planet? And you don't know it, and therefore you don't do it. But here the Word of God makes it very clear that you have a part of this inheritance. Let's talk about it. In Ephesians, the first chapter, you might want to go there with me as we look at the Word of the Lord together. In the first chapter, verse number 9, he starts to make a statement, and I want to read the statement as Paul writes under the inspiration to the churches at Ephesus. As he writes to the church at Ephesus, he's saying something about you and me. and about this inheritance. Let me read it to you, if I may. Let's see if we can pick it up. Let's concentrate for a few moments. Notice what it says in verse number 9, Ephesians 1. It says this, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Stop right there. God does not want you to live in a mystery. God wants you to know that there's a mystery out there that man by themselves cannot figure out. But God wants you to know what that mystery is all about. And he says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Many times Christians come along and say, I don't know what the will of God is. I wish I could figure out. But my Bible says there's a mystery to the will of God. But God makes it known to us. And that's what we're doing in this place today. Finding out what God says. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. There's some pleasure that's in Jesus that was purposed through Jesus. And he wants you to know about it. And that's a good verse, but it doesn't mean anything until you go to the next verse, verse number 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, stop right there. Look back up at me. In the time period of this planet called Earth, everything is going to come to a fullness. It's going to be over. Last breath is breathed. This time period, the word dispensation right there means really time period of the fullness of the times. He might gather together in one all things where? In Christ. So here we find all things, meaning all things that are of inheritance quality, eternal quality, are going to be gathered up together in one. And in Christ Jesus, both which are in heaven. Oh, now this part is kind of strange, because I can understand eternal things being in heaven. And which are on the earth. Amen. In him. Now I can understand that in heaven everything's eternal. I mean, there's no bad stuff, there's no evil stuff. I can understand that in heaven, you know, that's obvious, that's it's all eternal. But, he didn't stop there with just on in the heavens. He now goes beyond the heavens, talks about the eternal things that are on this earth. In him, gathered together, in one. Whew. You say, well, Pastor Jim, how does that work? It's so simple. While you're reading that, you might want to go down to Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 18. How does it play with you? How does this work out with you? Let's take a look at it together. In verse number 18, it says these words, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Stop right there. Didn't he just say he wants us to know the mystery of his will? Now he said the eyes of your understanding. He wants you to see with your thinking, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glory? You know the word glory is an interesting word. It means manifested goodness. The display of manifested goodness, goodness being displayed. The riches of his God's manifested goodness of his inheritance. If he stopped right there, it'd be really different. None of us would be involved, but he doesn't use three words in the saints. That's you that are born of the Spirit of God. A saint isn't something you wear around your neck. That somebody decides you've done such good things, you become a saint. A saint is anybody born of the Spirit of God that carries the goodness of God, the glory. In fact, you're the West Coast distributor of God's goodness. At least we're supposed to be. So you are the saint that they're talking about. And now, according to this, the riches of the goodness that are manifested of the inheritance, where? Where's the inheritance? In the saints. In other words, what you do has a lot to do with the inheritance of Christ. You do nothing, there's no inheritance. And you operate in two areas to bring something eternal to God. May I tell you what those two areas are that you bring eternal to God? Here's area number one. Area number one is yourself. When you get born of the Spirit of God and your soul is washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you now, listen to these words, are eternal. Going to heaven. Most people stop there. But did you know you are left here not just to go to heaven? You are left here because of the things that you produce, number two, needs to be eternal too. And when I produce with my life something eternal, it becomes part of his inheritance. Let me say it again. When I produce something in my life, first me, then what I do. When I produce something in my life that is eternal, it becomes part of his inheritance. What's eternal? What's God? What is of God? By faith in God, by his word. When I go out and I witness to a lost and dying world about Jesus, they come and they get their life straightened out, and you come and bring them to church, or you get them saved, and all of a sudden, now that's the first step. They've now had an eternal soul that is one to the Lord, but then they produce something that brings the inheritance of God and causes it to be greater. And when it's all time said and done, here all of a sudden, here comes this massive inheritance that's got to come from church. Come the world, you and I, people that are in Christ. What we ought to be doing is keeping our eyes on the things that are spiritual, because that's what produces eternal things instead of the things that are of the flesh. May I say this to you? God doesn't mind you having a nice home or having a great education or buying a nice car or buying nice clothes. Not bothered by that at all. But if that's what your life consists of, and only producing stuff for yourself instead of stuff that's eternal, you have missed the purpose of your salvation. And anybody that preaches to you, if you've got a bunch of worldly gain, your spiritual is trash. I may have worldly things that I'm involved in. I live in a house, I wear clothes, I drive a nice car. That's cool with God. But I want you to know something. My real life existence is to produce that which is an inheritance to Christ, because I'm producing what is eternal. And that's the way we've all got to think. So, to understand this, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse number 18 jumps out at the Word of God. As Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so it's really God speaking to the Corinthian church, and he writes this, and it's really fascinating. He says, here's what we're supposed to look at. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. In other words, if I'm going to live my life, I've got to look into the spiritual realm, the things I don't see, instead of just the things I see. If I look just only into the things I see, then what do? I operate in the natural world, never producing eternal things. Now watch what he goes on to say. For the things of which are seen are temporary. In other words, they're going to be here, they're going to be burned up, they're going to be gone. They're not here forever. They're, hey, adios, see you later, Charlie, it's gone. And we put so much store, we put so much time in, we put such an effort into these things that you will not take with you into eternity, that will not become the inheritance of Christ, because they're not eternal. But the things which are not seen, spiritual, now those things are going to bring an inheritance to Christ. The first inheritance I have for Christ is me. The second inheritance for Christ is what I do. And if I keep my eyes fixed on the stuff of this world instead of the plan of God, why I'm here, I will only produce temporary things which none of us are going to take with us. And now we've got this carnal church going around never doing anything, because we got our eyes fixed on something else other than the things that are eternal. Now, if I'm fixed on the things that are eternal, and I'm in, if they're producing something that's going to bring eternity and bring an inheritance to Christ, now I am fulfilling the plan of God. And nobody can say, I don't care who you are, that I'm a loser, that I'm a failure, I'm a nobody doing nothing. I have a plan for my life. I have a purpose for being on this planet. And yes, I may live in a house, and yes, I may buy great food, and I may eat a steak once in a while, and I may drive a nice car, and yes, I may have all those things. That's not the issue. The issue is what is the main focus of my life. And it better not be on the things that are temporal, but the things that are eternal. And we're to produce that because it doesn't come from anybody else but you and I that are left on this planet. Is anybody listening? That's why I can say to you something and put it in words that you can understand. We have a commission in life to produce eternal things, which become the inheritance of Christ. One more time. We have a commission in life to produce eternal things, which become the inheritance of Christ. One more time. We have a commission in life. In other words, let me tell you something, guys. It's not about how smart you are, pretty you are, cool you are. Not about how young you are, old you are, how talented you are, gifted you are. It has nothing to do with that. Never has had anything to do with that. That's all worldly stuff and how we judge each other. It has nothing to do with that at all. It's when you become a born-again Christian and you have an eternal soul that you're offering to Christ as an inheritance. It's what you do with the rest of your life that's going to produce eternal things, which become the inheritance of Christ more than just you. So when he's the heir of all things, it's all things you produce as well as you yourself. So cool. A lot of people don't do that. They live for the now, the here. They live for themselves. This is a very selfish society. Self-serving. That's why we have problems with so many politicians. I quite frankly don't give a flip who they elect as a governor of the state of California. Quite frankly, all the years I've ever been here, I've never seen one do anything for the people. Because it all comes back to self-serving. Doesn't matter whether it's Democrat or Republican in the White House. May I say this to you? They're all self-serving. And I'm not trying to pick on people. It just seems like people don't realize that the whole world society is set up for self. But God's is different. That doesn't mean I won't vote. I'll vote for the best one that'll support the gospel. And I always think that when I vote. Believe that. Of course, they always pan out not to. That's why Jesus himself speaks about this so much. You know what he says all the time? All through the Gospels, he says some things that are pretty powerful. For an example, in Luke, the 12th chapter, in verse 16, he's talking to his disciples. He says, and he spoke this parable to them, verse 16 of the 12th chapter of Luke. The ground of a certain man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater barns, and there I will store my crops and my goods. You know, that's just natural thinking. We're all there. Come on, don't think this bad of this guy. You'd think the same thing yourself. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, drink, eat. Be merry. God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then those whose will those things be in which you have provided? So is he who lays up his treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about life and what you eat or what your body or what you put on. Life is more than food and body and more than clothing. In other words, there's a purpose you have, not just to accumulate stuff that is temporal for yourself, but to live a life as a Christian that's going to build the inheritance of Christ. Can I say something? It even gets more bizarre. Romans, the 8th chapter, says this, that you and I that are born of the Spirit of God are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. So we're not only building up the inheritance for Jesus from the earthly side, We're building up the inheritance for ourselves that are in Christ Jesus. The lowest level of anybody that wants to build the kingdom of God is simply bringing the tithe into the house of God. Tithe doesn't do any good when you bring your tithes and offerings in the house of God if the preacher puts it in his pocket. Lives high on the hog, spending all of your money on himself. You'd have to be an idiot to go to that kind of a church, and I don't think you are an idiot. But when you see right before your very eyes tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of people being fed every year, when you see the buses picking up people that get saved, when you see the hospitals filled with workers bringing Jesus, convalescent hospitals, 12 services preaching the gospel, getting people saved, filled with things of God, when you see a church underneath the bridges passing out blankets and food to those that are homeless and down and out, and you see all of these things going on in the parks about back to school and supplying school needs for children, when you see every prison affected in our area, and then on top of all of that, you see 140 nations on the continent being touched by Jesus from your tithe and offering, do you know what happened? What you did just became eternal. And every soul that walks up, which you see thousands of all the time, in this church, I don't know, we have 12, 14,000, we only count people walking down the front, get right with God. Every soul belongs to the tither. And someday you'll go to heaven and God will say, wow, you won a lot of souls. And wow, you were in all those nations. And look at the crusade in the Philippines that you were part of this week. And you're going to say, I wasn't even in the Philippines in my whole life. But you helped with your tithes and offerings that went to somebody who was... That's what this is all about. Or you can sit around and do nothing. Hold on to temporal things. That's fine. But it'll never go anywhere, never do anything. That's the least of getting involved. The other areas of getting involved with your life is getting out and being a mouthpiece or the hands or the arms or the legs for Jesus. Getting in there and working for Jesus a bit, letting somebody know so lives can be changed. My goodness sakes, you're building eternal lives. Take your giftings and use it for Jesus. That's what this is all about. Life is more than food and body and more than clothing. So today, I guess the question is this, things to do that are eternal. I guess if I don't know what to do to build eternal inheritance for Jesus, I won't do it. What do? I'll just sit there and do nothing. So to hear this message where it's at right now and say, wow, my life means something and counts for something. There's a purpose. There's a destiny. Wow, I can build an eternal inheritance for Jesus with me and what I produce and then never know what to do and how to do this. Then you walk out of here and you never do anything. So let's find out. Three areas. Things to do that are eternal. Number one, serve God, not the world. There is no way you can't serve the world some of the time. But what you do unto the Lord. And serving God means that you get in and you do something unto the Lord. And you don't just serve the world. You don't just serve the flesh. You don't just serve the temporal things that are going to be eliminated and shaken and fall away and be removed. You're going to serve that which is everlasting. And until you make a decision that what I'm going to do for the Lord, and I'm doing it through the Lord. For an example, I love my wife, not because she's beautiful, which she is, not because she's kind and my friend, which she is. I love my wife on a different level because I've got the Word of God, I've got God there, and God would have me love my wife. And my love for her has grown over these years. Grandpa loves Grandma more than when I was a young kid and we got married. Because our love has grown together. It's called serving the Lord in my marriage. Serving the Lord with my children. Serving the Lord on my job. When I put my pants on and go to work It doesn't matter if you're a house painter, doesn't matter if you're a gardener, doesn't matter if you're a politician. Well, maybe it might. No, I'm sorry, a politician. And it doesn't matter whether or not you're an attorney, doesn't matter if you're a physician, doesn't matter what you do. When you go do what you do unto the Lord, you're now serving God. See, that's what a lot of people don't understand. In fact, I love the word of the Lord. It makes it so very clear. In fact, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, go there with me in verse number 27. He says, now this, yet once more indicate the removal of the things that are being shaken. Have you ever seen an apple tree when it's shaken, all the apples that are not really on their good fall to the ground? He says, there's a removal of things that are being shaken. The only thing that can be shaken, guys, is putting your life in the stuff of this world and serving the world and not serving God. Now, he says these things, a removal of those things that can be shaken. As the things that are made, in other words, they're of the world, but the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And the things that can't be shaken is when you serve God. And that builds an inheritance to Christ. It also builds your own inheritance. None of that would mean anything if you didn't go to verse number 28. You see the very first word in verse 28, therefore, because of what I just said about what's going to be removed and shaken and what isn't going to be shaken. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Oh, my goodness, when we got saved, we are now part of a new kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Because of who we are, an everlasting kingdom, we make the choice. My life is not just to have God in it. My life is to have God in it and serve Him in every way that I can. Yes, I'll keep working. Yes, I'm going to keep driving my truck. Yes, I'll keep painting that wall. Yes, I'll keep doing what my job is. But I will serve God. When I go to work, I'm serving God. Because here's why. Even at the lowest level, I'm going to bring my tithe in. When I serve God, and that's going to win souls and change lives, because all of us gather together to do something. That's the lowest level of serving God. Beyond that is giving of yourself, which is even harder to do. We're talking about things to do that are eternal. Things, number two, to do that are eternal. Number one is to serve God. Number two is do godly works. What I do has got to count for something. It can't count for society. It can't count for our social systems. It can't count just for my own economics. What I do has got to be done in the name and for the glory of God. Let me explain what I'm going to explain something to you. It's going to make some of you angry. Some of you are not going to believe this. Some of you are going to criticize this, but that's because you don't know the Bible. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. When someone comes along and has a philanthropical approach to life, they may have billions of dollars and stepped away from their business to manage the billions of dollars that are going to be given away. Unless they're given away in such a manner that people can receive Christ and have a life change that is eternal, what they have done is no good at all. According to the Bible, I don't care how many billion you give away, it won't work until it's done for Christ. And what we do is we pat on the back, we make heroes out of people that are going to die and go to hell. Let me give you an example of that. If I feed a man and he's full because I gave something and he dies and goes to hell, then all I did was feed a man. It's no good. But if I feed a man and he's full and I tell him about Jesus and he gets saved, now I am telling you, when he dies, he has eternal life. And that's the difference. And I can give my money to clean up all the wells of the world so everybody has clean drinking water, die and go to hell, and everybody that drinks the drinking water go to hell too, unless Jesus is the reason for why I do what I do. Do you understand that? A lot of people that are Christians don't understand that. And they always get involved in good things. good according to society, good according to our social system, good according to our own thinking, good according to our own standard. Where did we get those kind of goods from? The knowledge of tree of good and of evil. From the garden where we now start to decide for ourselves what's good instead of listening to God what's good. There's Bible says none good but God. Unless God is involved in what it is that you're doing, you're wasting your time and your money. And that's why I say these words, do godly works. Because godly works, when the fire of testing of time hits it, it will not burn up. It'll be everlasting and endure. Now listen closely to what I'm going to say. The Bible describes in the third chapter, I'm going to take you there in a moment, of 1 Corinthians. It says something. That your works, that's the stuff you produce, that's your life, my life, stuff I produce, my works. Okay, we're on the same page. Will be tested by God. And how it's tested is a fire hits it. If it's wood, hay, and stubble. Now, I don't know if you know what wood, hay, and stubble is, but they're like little branches, little sticks, wood, hay. You know what hay is. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it doesn't last when the fire hits it, and the Bible says it burns up. So if I do works that are by myself, for myself, for an example, when I was a professional baseball player, I told God, I said, God, if you make me a superstar, I'll go to the hospitals, I'll sign the baseballs, I'll be a good guy, I'll take care of people, I will never be a conceited snot and a jerk. And you know what God told me? I never understood this at 18 years old. God said these words to me. He says, I don't want you to give you. I want you to give me. Because me giving me isn't going to get the job, but me giving Christ takes them to eternity. Does anybody listen to what I'm talking about? And that's the difference here. And so we find ourselves that we have the ability to produce either wood, hay, or stubble. Flames of God hit it, and it's in the scripture. Burns up, gone, no good. Now watch this. Or we can produce gold, silver, and precious stones, that which endures. When the flame hits it, according to the scripture, it endures. You're not going to burn the gold up. You're not going to burn the silver up. And the stones, precious stones, are going to be there. So what we have are two different types of works. Works that I do about myself for recognition and approval and acceptance of men, or just to feel good about myself, are the works that I do that are of God that brings people to eternity, that become the inheritance of Christ. Now let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. Let's check it out ourselves because I don't want to make a statement like that without you seeing it. And you can read the previous verses before this, starting in verse number 14, and start to read it. Actually, 13. And let's just go on. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. In fact, 12 and 10 are the verses you want to read before that. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians, 13th verse of the 3rd chapter. 3rd chapter, 1 Corinthians, starting in verse number 13. 13 says, each one's works will become clear. There's a day coming when what you do for God or don't do for God will be clearly stated. Oh. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work. And what sort it is? Verse 14. If anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. Now, I want you to know that word reward is a cool little word. Did you ever think about what kind of a reward you get? Oh, maybe we get like Boy Scouts. We get little pins. We're in heaven. Whoever has the biggest chest of pins. Or maybe we got brass bars or gold bars on our... No, none of that stuff. The rewards he's talking about is you're an heir and joint heir with Jesus. You get to be in part of the inheritance. The inheritance from heaven is no doubt. The inheritance of earth is big doubt. And if you... According to these scriptures, if anyone's work has been built that endures, receive a reward. Verse number 15 comes along. Let's check it out. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, you could be a Christian, have no works, go to heaven, have no reward or participation in the inheritance because you lived your life as just saved instead of living your life as called. And most people live their life as saved and don't live their life as called. Most people live their life with the only purpose is I'm going to die someday and go to heaven. Okay, fine. What'd you do with your time on earth? Nothing. You're saved, but there'll be no reward. Well, I did some good things. Was it God that you did? Or was it you that you did? Is anybody listening? We're talking about things to do that are eternal. Number one, serve God. Number two, do godly works. Number three, I'm going to stop with this. Here's number three. Live God's word. When I live God's word, I become the expression of God's word. And God's word is eternal. Doesn't vanish. It doesn't go away. What God says stays. And if I live God's word, then what I'm living will stay. I live God's word loving my wife, or wife loving the husband. Live God's word according to how to raise our children. Live God's word according to how to do business, or relatives, or deal with our neighbors. Live God's word. When you live God's word, it becomes a physical expression of what he says. And it's eternal. In fact, 1 Peter, the first chapter, says these words, which are really cool. But the word of the Lord endures everlasting forever. Jesus is speaking. He makes this comment in John, the 6th chapter, verse number 27. He says, don't labor for the food which perishes. Do you know what that means? The stuff of this planet. But for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the Father, God the Father, has set his seal on him. Three things that we can do to make sure our life counts in building the inheritance of Christ. Can you imagine? God comes and gives you life so that you can live your life to build the inheritance from earth to Jesus. We have purpose. We have destiny. We have value. There's a reason you're here. Not just to eat food, enjoy family, and have babies, die and become a picture on someone's wall for the next generation. Then they take it off the wall and sell it at a yard sale two generations from now. That's a morbid thought. But there's other things. We're here to build the inheritance of Christ. And that ought to be an exciting adventure for every one of us. Come on now. If God spoke to you, give the Lord a great big praise. I could just add a little footnote, a P.S., if I may. So every time you look at yourself in the mirror and think you're a failure, if you are in the world good, just turn your effort towards the things of God and build the inheritance of the things of God, and you're going to be a happy camper. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.